Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity in the highway to the north, this is Safety Wars for Monday, October 28th, 2024. How's everybody doing out there today? Fine, I hope. Anyway, we are getting everything up and running here. It's been a few days. I did not realize we didn't release something on Friday. We'll get that remedied today. You're going to have a double episode today. So we're going to do our regular news reviews. But in the podcast land, we're going to be doing the intro to leadership. I have that pre-recorded from last year. I had delivered that on Friday to the ASSP over here in the Mid-Hudson Valley. I want to thank everybody over there for inviting me over. First time in the big room, right? Doing the talk. We got a lot of good feedback on our presentation. Got some not so good feedback too. That's fine too with that. Well, Jim, you shouldn't be saying that. Well, you know, you can, you know, some people like it. Some people say, well, you know, you could have done things a little bit with that. But what my point is this, when I do the leadership presentation, like I always say, backbone, assertiveness. Well, I know, and talking with people and doing polling in the audience, things of that nature, we are still suffering in the safety field from a lot, the old way of doing things. You can't say, you really kind of hard to debate that. Well, what do you mean, Jim? We are taught to antagonize people in a way, to be their antagonists, to be, right? So it used to be, well, look, you got to put on your safety glasses, put on your hard hat, you got to follow procedure, and if you don't like it, we'll find someone who does. Who the hell wants to work under those conditions? Who wants to work under those conditions? Not too many people. Right? What's the traditional part of safety? The traditional part of safety, the traditional stuff that we do is... Here, hold on. I got it right here, so we won't foul it up. Our old way of doing this, right, is this. Hold on. One, we do not have the ability to hire, fire, or discipline anyone. And I added something else recently. We do not have the ability to make changes or the ability to ward people. Just not the way it is. We don't have those. So it's extremely difficult to manage these things. Well, we always find ways of doing that. Okay, yeah, we always find ways of doing things. But it really is not. What's the word I'm looking for? It's really difficult to manage people if you don't have any of these abilities. Who are they going to listen to? Who's your workforce going to listen to? The workforce is going to listen to the people who hire them, fire them, discipline them, make changes, reward, work, all of that. Now, before they're even going to think about safety. No, the people who are out there people who are out there doing things, right, managing them, who's impacting their bottom line is who they're going to listen to. So what happens is, under the old way of doing things, worker is to blame for safety issues. You have shame, blame, and retrain. You're going to do that with a 30 or 40 year person? Well, no, what we were taught at the beginning, we go out there. Well, we have to go out there and you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to do your job. Who wants to hear that? Especially a skilled tradesperson, maybe a manager. Well, you don't want to be doing this. It doesn't work. You need to be able to get along with people. You have the other thing. Safety is the absence of accidents and incidences and illnesses and everything else. And then you have one. Shame on you. Shame. You're not a safe company. Really? Reliance on the individuals. As long as Fred is here, Fred is going to be the guy and blah, blah, blah. And when Fred's not here, there's always a problem. Well, what are you training the rest of your workforce? To rely on one person, that one person's out for the day, that one person retires, now you're up Gouverneur Creek with no paddle? Is that really? I don't know. And bad actors. Well, you know that person is a bad actor. We're going to have to do something about that person. They're a bad actor. They're not nice. They're not good. I mean, come on. And this is what we were told, and it's encouraged. I had one guy out in the audience, right? And again, it's an interactive kind of thing, with everybody. We had one guy say, that's how I'm told. This is how I'm told to manage things. This is how and what I love is this, all right? Well, this is how the government officials that we're working on government contracts, this is how they tell us to manage things. What do I do for that, Jim? You're talking all this hop stuff. Why, what's the solution? Well, I can't offer really any solutions because things are always, there's three sides, maybe four sides every story. And there's from your point of view, the other person's point of view, everyone else's point of view, and the truth on what it is. And the truth is often hard to come by here. So I said, look, we have this network out there called Safety FM. We have something like 17 podcasters, almost all of us, talking about human organizational performance, how to run an effective type of situation without being antagonistic, getting along with people, everything else. We have all this stuff at our fingertips on how to do things. But, send them our way. That's the whole thing. Look, it can be along the lines of, hey, look, we know these guys. Now, we had this big guy, Safety Wars, in front of us, Pomona, last Friday. He was talking about maybe there's a different way of handling this stuff. Well, what do you mean? Well, maybe, did you ever think that maybe human error is normal? Have you ever heard of SKR, way of thinking of things, Jens Rasmussen? That maybe in almost 80 years, almost 90 years, maybe things have evolved from those darn triangles. Heinrich's pyramid and have you ever thought of that? Or how about this? How about we stop blaming people and start working on focusing on the problem, focusing on fixing the problem rather than blaming people? Because I tell you what, we'll get to that point here, right? And how about learning? Hey, you've been in the office all these years, and I'm not really familiar with this work 100%. Why don't we talk to the people who are doing the work, see what they say on this? This way, maybe we can work together, sort of thing. Or how about context drives behavior? Are you looking at the context? Are you looking at how you how we respond to this. No, if we're going to be yelling and screaming and cursing at people, do you think we're really going to get the information that we need and acting antagonistic? Maybe we need to learn and maybe act accordingly. Maybe that would be a good thing. Oh, well, with that, there's a lot of stuff you could do here with this. But what you need to do is have your, what you say, ahead of time. You have to plan it out. They always talk about safety stump speeches. Phillips 66, very big on safety stump speeches. What do you mean, Jim? Safety stump speech. Safety stump speech is you have something ahead of time. Look, this is why it's their way of, and it was wrong, by the way. Their way of doing it was, look, you have to have something to say. Look, this is an important thing because of X, Y, and Z. And avoid saying, well, your family is looking forward to, blah, 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 blah. Because I'm going to tell you what, nobody, and that doesn't really work. I'm sorry. It does not work. It should work. You should care about going home to your family, but I'm sorry that doesn't seem to ring true for a lot of people because we don't know what context they're dealing with. So, for example, they may be estranged from their family. We don't know that. They may be going through a divorce. We don't know that. They may be doing, they may not have a family for some reason. And there are people like that. So you don't know what that is. So I would avoid saying that. Blah, 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 here. Let me get this up. I'm going to go to a commercial break because I just thought of something that is very relevant here. And I'm going to, how this hop works if you're going to use it for every day things here. So let's go to commercial break and I will come right back. I hate it when I think of things right in the middle. I'm like all over the place, but hey.
Have you listened?
In the profession.
The Safety War Show. It does stream live on the radio and on the streamers that we have. So if you have not taken a listen to Jim Bozell and what the hell he's doing every evening with Safety Wars, I would strongly encourage you to take a view or take a listen, whichever option is available for you, and take a listen to what the hell he has going on. It's definitely, it will take some deep dives in some information that you might be interested in.
I'm sure you've heard the news. Safety training is evolving, and you should be too. Outdated safety training isn't just boring, it's dangerous. If your safety trainer is still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety from 25 years ago, it's time for a change. Imagine safety training that actually addresses the hazards unique to your workplace. No more generic, one-size-fits-all solutions. The Safety Wars team at SafetyWars.com is here to revolutionize how you approach safety with customized training that's relevant, engaging, and effective. Contact Jim Polzel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces. Say goodbye to outdated safety training and hello to a safer, more productive environment. Visit SafetyWars.com now.
Okay, so this is, how do we incorporate some of this hop stuff into our everyday thing, right? So here we had a situation where we had a drill on site, a fire drill, and everybody on site walked to the fire drill area except for one person, and the plant manager blew a gasket here, right? And started antagonizing, screaming and yelling, and the whole nine yards here. So, not driving to the work area, right? He wasn't working for us. It's not mentioned, and I was in charge of him. I was in charge of other people, but this is what I witnessed here. Not driving is not mentioned in any document supplied to us, which is used to orient anyone on the site. Since we are not told this was a drill, which is proper, The employee thought this was an actual emergency. He might have panicked and drove his vehicle there. He wanted to get out as soon as possible. In this case, he was driving a motorcycle, a very expensive motorcycle, I might add. And this guy is not the fastest walker, right? We have we might have had a non-reported ADA issue here, by the way, not disclosed by the employee. Even with training, it might be not. And I'm redacting this here, enough to get him to react the way the plant manager thinks he should react, especially with the company's and the host employer's self-reported chemical inventory on this site. Again, screaming and yelling at the employee because he drove rather than walked to the emergency evacuation area, probably not a good approach here. Antagonizing the employee. So again, this is where it goes into this, how you respond to failure matters. Did this plant manager respond to failure? Okay, thank God it was a drill, but how are you supposed to figure out how people know what's going on if you don't drill them, if you don't train them? Drilling by drill, a fire drill, emergency evacuation drill, is training by definition. Not Jimmy's definition, the NFPA's definition, and some of the other industry standards. So this is part of a training exercise. Training means that you're supposed to acquire new skills or maybe some mistakes. You evaluate and you figure things out. All right. And there is some other stuff going on too. The plant manager's aggressive attitude towards his own people, which I witnessed, and one of our workers, other workers, experience himself is in itself dangerous. His reaction to a practice drill when the intention is to learn and train everyone on site is reprehensible. I think we could all understand the incentive being, don't get so the plant manager angry. That's our incentive. Again, it's incentives. People are driven by incentives. That's part of HOP. And things not, right, being reported to him. Especially safety fraud, right? So by him acting this way, nothing's going to get reported to him. His attitude leads to a less safe job site, right? We responded to the emergency within 5 minutes and 18 seconds, according to the organizer of the drill, of the fire drill. She was very impressed. Again, let's talk about the positive. Hey, we got out. We have people in confined spaces and everything else. We got everybody out, put through a small decon and to the evacuation area within 5 minutes and 18 seconds. The evacuation area was approximately the muster point 300 foot away. That's a very good positive thing here. Why aren't we accentuating that? Nobody hurt. Going there the way we were supposed to. They had it on stopwatch. Did a real good job. The other thing, so one of the solutions to this was, hey, we're gonna issue a site radio. Well, the site radio's maximum output is 90 decibels. Typically in our work area, the noise is anywhere from 98 to 105 decibels, and I know that necessitates double hearing protection, earmuffs and earplugs. But again, are you going to be able to hear the site radio? No. All right. That was our kickback. They didn't like that. I pointed that out. We'll never be able to hear the radio over the excessive noise. So I don't think that that's going to work. They didn't like that very much. But oh well. What's the point here is this. My point is we can apply these principles here to our workplace in a professional, non-antagonistic, getting along with everyone kind of thing. And that's what we need to do. It's kind of hard. One of the biggest challenges with HOP, with human organizational performances, is that it's a lot different than where we're coming from with traditional safety. Who says that, this is what you're going to get. Who says that that's a better way of doing things? Well, guess what? We have a whole podcast network here devoted to this. Safety FM, number one. Number two, you can mention a lot of the publications here. Todd Conklin, Brent Sutton, Sam Goodman, Sheldon Primus, right? Alan Warford, Safety Consultants Facebook group here. All this stuff is out there, and the materials are available, a lot of them for free, especially on the podcast end of things and the video cast, this show. Everything's for free. How about you go out and you hear, hey, this is a really good thing here that I heard this video. Now you can, now you could go on there. Hey, type up an email. Hey, you know what? I was listening to this guy on YouTube, on Rumble, on, Twitter, right, or X now. And maybe you want to listen to a different way of doing things. Maybe we can improve our safety culture by implementing some of this stuff. Better yet, give us a call, 845-269-5772, jim@safetywords.com. We can come in and we can do a presentation for you, either remotely or in person with that. All of that stuff goes in there, a positive way. You can't say, you know what? We're used to hear that. Hey, that guy is bleeped up. Look at how that manager does this. Blah, blah, blah. Guess what? Rather than try to criticize that manager not doing something right, maybe we could try to educate. Maybe we can be leaders for that person, right? And if they reject it, they reject it. But guess what you get better at? You get better at presenting this information the more that you present this information. So maybe it doesn't work out here. And the other thing is this. Annual reviews. What are you doing? Well, you know, I'm listening and I'm studying up on all this stuff. What are you doing to improve safety here? I'm studying up on this stuff and I'm trying to incorporate this stuff to try to get our accidents down. And it's all legitimate. It's all scientifically valid. It's all peer reviewed and everything else. We're trying to implement this stuff in our organization here so we can work better. Well, that's not our philosophy here, Jim. You don't understand. No, we have bad apples here. Well, first and foremost, every organization, by your definition of bad apples, or what every organization is like that. Jimmy's been doing this for 34 years. Every organization, if you're going to have that attitude, will have bad apples. So what are we going to do? Fire everybody? Just fire. This is not the military. I'm not insulting the military. This is not the military where you order someone to do something, they have to do it. There is a cost associated with firing an employee. Not only do you create a liability for wrongful firing, but you also piss off an employee, they may make up a whistleblower complaint, maybe legitimate or illegitimate on that. We have these things, you know, here we've had these since about 2009, and before that we had other devices similar to this where people could actually record you and what you say, what you do. Did it ever occur to you on that? So what's my thing? I know I'm rambling. Jim, you're rambling again. No, I'm not rambling. I'm rambling with a purpose. The purpose here is this. You have to go and be an advocate for safety. You have to go and have backbone. You have to go out there and be assertive. You have to work within whatever system you're in. I know we all have jobs. You say something to some people, they fly off the handle. I get it, where you may not be able to do that. You have to go out there. You have to assess it for yourself. You have to get maybe into that C-suite. How is this one? Someone's screaming and yelling at you. You don't yell back at them. Silence speaks 1,000 words sometimes. Right, someone's screaming and yelling at them. You don't react to them. It's like, what the hell? They're not reacting. It's like, you know, I don't react to people when they're acting this way. Maybe you want to rephrase and calm down a little bit and let the guy go on and on and on and on. Usually a guy. Let him scream and yell. Let him. Then what your argument is, look, I'm advocating for a safer workplace and we got this guy screaming and yelling and acting all aggressively with that, you know? And if they penalize you for speaking out and advocating for safety, you know what you have? You have a whistleblower complaint. Ooh, if federal case if you choose to. Don't advocate it, but that's options out there. Now, if you're a manager who is screaming and yelling and acting this way, now you know there are people out there with a thing. You know, there's a thing called the internet. You may have heard of that. Maybe you didn't. And people are becoming more and more educated. Maybe they're trying to set you up. Maybe you got to change the way you're doing them, thinking about things. Just something to think about there. So, challenges, right? Hop is different. Different way of thinking. Human error is normal, so which means you got to set up your work areas and stuff to reduce human error. But when it happens, what are you going to do with it? Blame fixes nothing. Learning is vital. Learn about the jobs, right? Learn from the people doing the job. Context drives behavior, and how you respond to failure matters. We're going to go to the next section of the program here, but we have our royalty-free music interlude here. I hope.
Down and rising up anew, learning from the scars and heal the bruise. Everybody's got their own excuse. Contest drives behavior, can't you see? The past and present shape our destiny.
Safety Warrior with HOP, Human Harmony. That's the name of the song. Okay, so we're going to go right into the news here. Some national news. This is, now you're going to say, well, Jim, this is not safety. Yeah, well, it's national security. National security is in the safety realm here, right? U.S. issues, final rule, curbing investments in sensitive technology development in China. The new rule was announced amid concerns the Chinese regime is stealing U.S. technology and rapidly expanding its military and intelligence capabilities. U.S. Department of Treasury is implementing a new rule to limit outbound U.S. investments in Chinese companies. Remember, Chinese companies, if you're doing business in China and you get a business license in China, you are the Chinese Communist Party is in business with you. Remember that. Right? Different rules over there. So we're eliminating outbound U.S. investments in Chinese companies developing advanced technologies that can impact U.S. national security. The Treasury Department rule is set to go into effect on January 2nd, 2025. Too late for me, all right? It should be next week. And is meant to create an enforcement framework for an executive order Joe Biden enacted in August of last year. Biden-Harris administration is committed to keeping America safe by preventing countries of concern. This is a quote from the White House a press release. Namely, the People's Republic of China for advancing in key technologies that are critical to their military modernization. No, doesn't happen soon enough for me, to be honest with you. That's my little editorial. Hundreds of ballots destroyed in Oregon. Again, ballot safety, ballot integrity. Fires damaged ballots in Portland and Vancouver as voters are urged to check ballot status. Officials emphasize election security among ongoing investigations. Two fires at a ballot drop in Portland, Oregon, and Vancouver, Washington, led to police responses early on October 28th, with one fire resulting in the destruction of potentially hundreds of ballots. Officials said at a press conference that they believe the incidents are connected and have identified a suspect vehicle. This is one argument against these drop boxes, right? At about 3:30 a.m. in Portland, officers responded to reports of a fire at the ballot drop box outside the elections office. Mike Brenner, public information officer for the Portland Police Bureau, said, "By the time officers arrived, I can tell you that the security personnel in the area had already extinguished the fire. Our officers quickly determined that there was an incendiary device that had been attached to the ballot box. That's what ignited the fire." Again, I don't anticipate having results here on Tuesday night. I tell you what, it is what it is. Nevada Supreme Court upholds law on mail-in ballots. Justices turn away a challenge from Republicans. Ballots that arrive by mail can be counted up to 3 days after Election Day. The Nevada Supreme Court ruled on October 28th. The state's top court turned away a challenge to a state law that says ballots that arrive without clear postmarks, provided they're received no later than 5 p.m. on the third day after election, shall be counted as having been postmarked on or before election day. Nevada officials have interpreted the law as enabling the counting of ballots without postmarks. Well, I guess you got to really watch on that. Heading on over to the U.S. Department of Labor press releases. Here we have Department of Labor seeks Kentucky Highway Construction Industry's input to set accurate prevailing wages, fringe benefits for workers. So if there is going to be federal monies involved and sometimes state monies involved in a construction job, everybody has to have a prevailing wage, except we're talking hourly people, not salary people, which I never really quite understood, but I think we need some reform in the Davis-Bacon Act, but that's me. With that, Biden administration has already put in some requirements for salaried workers, so that may that basically takes care of this. The Davis-Bacon and related acts require the department to set prevailing rates that reflect the actual wages and fringe benefits paid to construction workers. Going on and on. Maybe this is worth us going into. Hold on. Right, we hear about the Davis-Bacon wage determinations, but we don't actually go into anything like that. So, Let me do a share screen on here, and we'll go for it. So here's the screen here. All right, three factors must be considered in selecting Davis-Bacon wage determinations. The location, type of construction, current wage determinations. They're made on a county-by-county basis. The contracting agency must first identify the state and county where the construction work will be performed. In some cases, a project may be located in more than one county or state, right? Projects of similar character, it's a matter of long-standing policy. DOL has a distinction among four general types of constructions. We have building, residential, heavy, and highway construction. And it gives you the definitions on that. So, application of wage determinations. Let's see here. So, what are they? Hold on. Locating and obtaining the Davis-Bacon wage determinations. The SAM website, SAM.gov, contains all current general wage determinations as well as previous modifications of the wage. So I'm looking right here off the DOL website on Davis-Bacon wage things, and this is important here because I'm going to get to that in a minute here, why that's so important. So this is the webpage, and we have on here alerts and everything else here. What do you want to find? Okay, I think this is it. Wage determinations, right? And wage determinations, I'm going to say for my address here. Nope. Used to be on here. So this is it here. So they changed the websites considerably from the last time I was here. And I know that I'm doing this on the fly, which is bad, right? And again. Okay, let's do this. Stop the share. Okay, so I don't want to do this. But anyway, needless to say, I thought I was going to be nice here and show you everything here. My little foul up here tonight. Depending on where you're working in the country, you have different Davis-Bacon wage acts. It's sort of like the per diem rates. Different per diem scenarios, different per diem rates put out by the General Accounting Office of the government, GAO. Davis-Bacon wages, we described them basically what they are. They take into account what you should be getting paid, and it's also what the unions are getting paid. So you get a situation where a non-union worker will be getting union wages and union benefits. Make things equitable. This way the unions do not get underbid by non-union companies, number one. Number two, the non-union companies that get awarded contracts have the financial backing, hopefully. Pardon me, they know what they're getting into here. So, I don't know. It's one of those things. They vary from area to area. So, what happens when you don't comply with the Davis-Bacon Wage Act laws? I've been on contracts where they've done that. You got a problem. It's a felony, I believe. Right? You got the federalities after you. How often do they get convicted? I don't know, but I know you got to pay back wages with interest. It's a major thing. U.S. Department of Labor awards $5 million for temporary jobs and workforce training to continue Hurricane Idalia support to Florida. So this is all from away from 2023. For Florida, I don't know how the current situation is going to be impacted by this. So the U.S. Department of Labor today announced an award of $5 million in funding to support continued disaster relief employment and workforce training in Florida For Florida residents, as the state continues to recover after Hurricane Idalia from September 2023. I tell you what, I could see with the news stuff, this stuff never ending here with the thing. And I'm not bemoaning it. I'm just saying it's going to be never ending here. U.S. Department of Labor announces collaboration with the New York Labor Law Compliance and Child Labor Enforcement. Bottom line is here, we have a lot of kids that are lost in the system here. I'm wondering if they're ending up here with this stuff. And, no, as child labor. And going on, not a lot of safety news going on here, so we may be going right to the some of the other things. So let's go to commercial break here. And we'll get back to you. Hold on.
Hey, employers, want to avoid hefty OSHA fines? Listen up. OSHA, or the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, can issue penalties after inspecting your workplace. If they find violations, you'll get notified by certified mail or in person. You have 15 working days to contest it, or the penalty becomes final. How are penalties determined? It depends on your business size, the severity of the violation, your history, and your good faith efforts. Even if you fix the issue right away, you might still get fined. Let's talk numbers. A willful violation can cost between $11,524 and $161,323. Repeated violations hit up to $161,323. Serious violations can reach $16,131. And other than serious violations can also cost up to $16,131. If you fail to correct a violation, it's $16,131 per day. Lastly, missing a posting requirement? That's another $16,131. Stay informed, stay compliant, and keep your workplace safe to avoid these costly penalties.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars, with your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Posel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
Okay, like last week, we're going to go over this Electoral College map. I'm gonna describe it to you. Hopefully, we could figure this out here. All right. Here we have, as of right now, this is Real Clear Politics. They have the Electoral College map, right? And this has been updated today. They update this every day. They're usually pretty close to what's going on here. So here they have, as far as electoral, I know there are polls out there, nationwide polls. Kamala is up by, Harris is up by 4 points is in within margin. And then in this one, well, they're dead even. Polls are all over. It does not matter, these national polls. As a member of my family said very correctly at dinner today, and we don't agree on a lot of this political stuff. You're in New York, right? You're in New York. What difference does it make how you vote? You're going to be overwhelmingly voted by Democrats. Just the way it is. I'm not saying don't vote. I'm just saying let's keep things in perspective here on where our vote counts. It's sort of like baseball. Everyone likes to hit a home run. But when you hit the home run at the right time, it's a beautiful thing, right? So here we have the Electoral College breakdown. You have 215 votes for Harris and Waltz, right? And you have 219 votes for Trump and Vance. Those are pretty much solid where the starting point is, according to Real Clear Politics. And there are 104 toss-up votes. And these are like votes that are, that haven't really been decided. The polls are going back and forth and everything else here. So What are those toss-up states? You have Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada, Nebraska, and that's only, I believe Nebraska is apportioned. So you have one for Nebraska, Wisconsin 10, Pennsylvania 19, North Carolina 16. Apportioned means that they can split the vote, right, on there, the Electoral College vote. So as of right now, let's run down the list. So you have, and I again, this is all copyright. I really can't share this, but I'm going to describe it to you. So here we have, and I got my piece of paper here. Okay, so we have Harris at, why are we going through this? Again, why are we going through this? Is that we got people, new listeners all the time. And by the way, this is about, I'm sorry, I have to keep you people occupied for an hour here, right? And this is what everyone's talking about. I'd be remiss if I don't do this. So you need 200, and it's 215 to 219, and 270 Electoral College votes. All right, so how does this break down? Toss-up is Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Nebraska. Now, here we have, let's try to put that down here, right? Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, PA, NC, GA, AZ, and V, right? So here we have, as of today, Minnesota, as of the latest poll in Minnesota, right? Here we go. Minnesota, it's Harris leading by 4.3, right? That's the average here, 4.3. So Minnesota is 15 votes. And here we have Arizona is leading Trump, right? So Arizona leading Trump, we're looking at 11 for Trump. All right. Pennsylvania leading Trump slightly. So now we're dealing with 19. Right? And if you're keeping track, North Carolina is 16 votes. And that is going for Trump slightly. 16. Virginia, Virginia, we're looking at slight Trump, Kamala Harris. Why they put it in here? I don't know. All right. It's a toss-up right now, leading Dems. So we got Virginia. We don't have it listed in that. So what's the next one? Arizona. We don't have that. Okay. Michigan is slightly Trump. What's Michigan? How many votes are in Michigan? 15. Wisconsin, and if you're keeping track, is Wisconsin 10 electoral college votes, and it's Trump slightly. So Wisconsin 10, right? And going on here, Michigan, Minnesota. Okay, Minnesota is 10 votes. And who's that going to? It's leans Democrat. So here we go. If we add up all these toss-ups, and I don't know what Arizona is leading here. Maybe they got it here. Arizona is probably a complete toss-up here. On. Okay, it's leading Trump. So Arizona is leading Trump, and Arizona is with 11 votes. So if the election were held today, and all these leanings and everything else held here, what we're looking at here is this. 215 votes for Harris, plus 10 plus 15, so we're looking at 240 Electoral College votes. Not enough to win. All right, this is all that it comes down to, is Electoral College. For Trump, it's 25, 22, 35. Doing the math here, we're looking at 60. We're looking at 82. So at the end of this, Trump is at 301. Kamala Harris at 240. That's what it comes down to. So all this rhetoric you've heard over the weekend, name calling, both sides, really is irrelevant. What's relevant are this, right? The Electoral College and how people are going to react to that. That's why, it's important to cut through the baloney here. And this is about psychological safety here. Would you rather be told the truth or would you rather, I've had to turn off the phone. Because every 2 minutes, remember, I'm on the receiving end of both sides here. Trump is this, Trump is that, Trump is that. Harris is this, and they don't even call her vice president. And this, I'm bad, and this one's bad. And on the local level, it's even worse. Sound bites. Regardless of who wins, regardless of what side you're on, we need leadership for the future here. We absolutely need it. And we're going to talk about that in the coming days here, once this is all over, way I see things and what we need here with this. I'm probably not going to be on this show here, but it'll be on some other stuff. That's what I got here with this. Let's play a couple more commercials here, and we're going to come back at you.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
OSHA Recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Pozell with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy.
So, here we have from CNN. FBI, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago here with these crime stats here. FBI releases crime stats months after the fact. This new crime tracker is trying to be more timely, and FBI is too. This is from Eric Levinson from CNN. Again, not a right-wing type of thing. In September 2024, the FBI released data with some retroactive good news. Violent crime declined across the U.S. in 2023. Has that trend continued this year? The FBI's preliminary information says yes, but the data is not finalized. It only includes crimes to the end of June. What about crimes in the 9 months since, a period that includes two attempted assassinations? The FBI has not released that data and won't for several months. For crime experts and researchers, the delay is getting reliable data from the FBI in a timely manner is a major source of frustration. Right? And what does it come down to? They revise this stuff upward or downward. So what good? Any of these statistics that are generated here? Right. So what's the FBI doing to fix it? Okay, left to blame fixing it. They want to release these crime stats monthly, for example, like the other economic data. I guess that's a good thing here. But, I don't know. The crime data, lags months behind, years behind in some cases. Not a good thing. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'm just going to end it right here. We're right at here, and we're going to go right to our outro. And then for later on, for tomorrow, by the time you get this, if you're on the East Coast, it'll be tomorrow. We'll go from there, and I will be releasing the intro to leadership stuff. For Safety Wars, this is Jim Polzel. I will see you tomorrow.
Safety Wars is streaming now. SafetyFM.com.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.